I'm Elena.
I'm Grant.
And this is Whiskers.
We share knowledge regarding Sequest.
And I'm excited. I'm so much more excited for this episode than I was for last week's episode.
Yeah.
Last week's episode I did not want to talk about, but this one I'm excited to talk about. Yeah.
Why have you been so excited about this episode?
Because I like this episode. It's a good one. It's a good one.
Can you be more specific?
We got a lot of Lucas.
Okay.
We got a fun guest star.
Yes.
We got hackerness.
Oh, boy. If you enjoy the exploits of Serial Killer and his friends, you're going to love Photon Bullet, episode 12 of the first season of Sequest.
Mm-hmm.
This one is written by Michael Cassett, who previously wrote for the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon and a handful of episodes of the 80s Twilight Zone and Max Headroom. He would go on to write the body swap episode of Farscape, Out of Their Minds.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good one.
Well, here's one better for you. He was a producer on Erie, Indiana.
Oh my God, I love Erie, Indiana.
Of course you do.
I do.
Of course you do.
You've never seen Erie, Indiana.
I haven't.
One day, I will show you at least the episode. I think it's the pilot of where people sleep
the people
in Tupperware.
In the Tupperware that I've been hearing about.
I love that episode.
Half
so
of my
much.
Life you've been telling me about people in Tupperware.
It's so good. It's on Disney, I think.
We watched So Weird and I thought it was Erie, Indiana. I was waiting for the people in the Tupperware.
No, that's Erie, Indiana, which is available to stream, so we have to stream it.
Okay.
Along with season 2 of The Invisible Man that I just found out about.
Michael Cassett also produced Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, that's
for
fine.
The record.
I guess that's
there's no Tupperware people in that.
Eh.
Just plastic surgery.
They basically are Tupperware people.
It is directed by Steve Dubin.
I mean, the Tupperware is to preserve freshness and youth. It's kind of no different than plastic surgery and Botox.
Steve Dubin's career follows, like, changes over the decades.
Okay.
So through the 80s, he was primarily a camera operator on things like Teen Wolf, Mannequin, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Okay.
Now here in the 90s, we meet him as a director here on Sequest, but also the Alien Nation TV show, the Ferris Bueller TV show. Wrapping up the 90s with 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd.
Okay.
And in the 21st century, he has switched to being a visual effects guy on films like Return of the King, iRobot, Twilight, three of the Alvin and the Chipmunks films.
Is he responsible for the sparkles?
The sparkles?
In Twilight.
In Twilight?
Yeah, he's all sparkles.
The skin of a killer?
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Never know. It was that or the awful baby, and I'd prefer to give him the benefit of the doubt.
He didn't follow the whole series. He was just working on Twilight.
Oh, good. Good job. I'm glad you were on one of the better ones.
The ones with the baby are the best ones?
I mean, yeah, but like those middle ones are crap. So I'd feel really bad if, like, I don't know, that was it.
So, tell me about Photon Bullet.
Didn't you watch it too?
Tell the people at home about Photon Bullets.
This episode starts off with hacking.
With a hacking glove.
There's a hacking glove. Not a trench. We get no trench. We get hacking glove.
Yes.
This is like the first episode that does not start with a trench.
Or any sort of underwater establishing
shot.
No.
No. Because all the other ones you're like, okay, it's going to be focused on being underwater. This one's on hacking.
It does set the expectation, and correctly so.
Yes. So we are at like a Chinese military computer place.
In 2010.
2010. Oh-ho.
This is 9 years before where we set our scene.
Yes. There is a man whose face we don't see who is hacking, you know, with his little hacker glove into different, you know,
keypads
and whatnot.
Yeah.
He's got the most dramatic extendable hook.
Yes.
He like it's like a like whips it out and like extends it really fast and you're like, oh, it's just a hook. It's just a hook you would use to like take clothing off of a high clothing hook at a store.
Yes.
But he uses
yes.
it to, you know, move a security camera.
Mm-hmm,
it is the most dramatic move of a secret. He could have reached that camera.
No, I kind of appreciate the super high-tech extendo hook because it is sort of there to make the point that most hacking is really mundane stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think of the hacking sequence in Ocean's 8, for example.
Yeah.
Which is just someone setting up a fake website for a thing that a security guy really loves in order to, like, trick him and get his password.
Yeah.
Very, very simple, boring stuff. But you cannot do that in the scene where the super high-tech guy with the motherboard on a glove with a ribbon cable is sneaking in to assassinate a military official.
Yeah.
It's discordant. You can't do both at once.
Yeah. I do think, I mean, most hackers are boring because, like, let's be honest, they're trying to steal, like, I don't know, my bank information. I'm like, I don't got, it's not worth your time.
It's not a terribly exciting bank, even, to begin
with.
No.
But, like, I don't got money in there. I don't know what you think you're gonna get. Like, so yeah, he's going through all the motions to get in there. Mm-hmm, I also like the, what turns out to be the photon gun, but it just looks like an extendable screwdriver.
Mm-hmm,
or like a wrench, extendable socket wrench.
It's not a photon. It's a normal gun. It's a doohickey. It's like a homemade gun.
Yeah, but it like, I mean, later he's like, oh, I shot it with a photon.
Yeah.
But like, it's a gun. But it just, like, it's supposed to be a silencer, I think.
But it
just looks like a fucking wrench.
Like a socket wrench
attached. I'm like, oh, he's got a socket wrench, something really far back in a cabinet. No, that's his gun.
It's his gun. And this unknown assailant kills this Chinese military official.
Yeah.
As we go into the credits. Oh.
It's like the quickest pre-credits thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the least amount of stuff.
And now we finally get our undersea establishing shot of whales.
Whales!
Humpback whales.
In the Pacific Ocean.
Moving majestically through the sea as the whiskers buzz them. Whiskers love whales.
Yes, because we're back in 2018.
I think we're now in January 2019.
The thing said 2018.
Which makes no sense.
I'm pretty sure it said 2018.
I agree, but I think that's a mistake. It should be 2019. If they started the show in 2018, which they clearly did, we've seen it many times.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a flashback?
I don't know. Maybe it said 19, but I'm pretty sure it said 18. I wrote 18. I
agree with you. I'm saying they're wrong. You're right.
What is time? Lucas, like, ages like 3 years in season one. At some point he's 15, at some point he's 16, then he's like 17.
He's like, had a lot of formative experiences.
I mean, it makes sense, because like, what are years in this show? Things go crazy later.
They do weird things with the international dateline on their journeys. It adds up. You know, they keep track.
So as the Sequest is, you know, following whales, Lucas is wandering around the bridge, just accidentally getting in everyone's way. Everyone's being mean to him.
He's taking notes and he's bumping into people. He's standing where people need to go. He blocks the stairway for O'Neill and then Hitchcock.
Not on purpose, though. No. Like, he's trying to go up the stairs and they just happen to be trying to go down at the same time. Or, like, he's trying to take a note and Ortiz is like, you're distracting me. And it's like, he's literally standing there saying nothing to you. Everyone is grumpy. Everyone needs a nap.
Every single member of the bridge crew has one of these moments with Lucas.
Yes.
And ending with Ford at the big map globe.
Telling him to go stand behind the moon pool. Go back there.
And he points directly down the barrel of the camera lens like he's addressing you, the player, in an AMV adventure game that would have been popular around the time of Sequest.
Yes. So Lucas leaves instead.
Mm-hmm.
As he's heading off the bridge to the maglev, he runs into Krieg and Crocker, and Crocker's like immediately like, oh hey, did you like finish that program you were supposed to do for me? And like Lucas starts to, you know, like, well, no, but like he has a question, he has a thing, like there's something, a reason why it hasn't been finished. And Crocker just cuts him off and is like, well, if you're not gonna like do what you say you're gonna do, like just don't then.
So he does, you know, a teenage and heads toward the maglev when the captain stuffs him.
And Bridger to Crocker is like, wait, was that Lucas? I told him to stay on the bridge. And they're like, oh, kids, never listening. Everyone's mean.
Crocker knows what just happened. Why is he like this, Crocker?
Lucas goes back to his room and gets on the internex.
The internex.
Internex.
And he logs on as his avatar, Frankenstein.
Uh-huh. It's
fucking Boris Karloff-ask Frankenstein.
And he wants to go chat with his friend Wolfman.
And so Frankenstein says, Wolfman, you lurking? Because... because the internex avatars talk, and they talk in character, and this is Jonathan Brandis doing a very silly Frankenstein voice that's, like, slightly digitized.
And what I love is that he's not actually speaking. Like, he's typing,
yes.
And this voice is coming out.
It is text-to-speech. But it is him as an actor all the same.
Yes. So what I want to know is if, like, it's supposed to be... you know, a straight-up computer-simulated voice, or if it's supposed to be, like, he had to do, like, have the device learn his speech
to
be able to do this.
He had to do the auditory equivalent of the quick brown fox, you know, get all the syllables in.
Yes, that's what I want to know. Wolfman appears, and they have a little chat about, you know, how Lucas is tired of being pushed around.
Lucas just wants to blow off some steam and play video games with his friend Wolfman. Mm-hmm. And Wolfman says, oh, he can't. He's still licking his wounds from the last time Lucas whooped him. And Frankenstein responds, please, I've got wounds of my own.
The most melodramatic teenager shit ever.
My wounds, they will not heal.
Lucas would have been so into emo music, my god.
This classical music from before I was born.
And so Wolfman leaves, and Lucas is just left there yelling, Wolfman!
Wolfman! Even his cool internet friends don't have time for him today. And so,
and so he looks at Darwin, who's, you know, hanging out in the window and is
hell
like,
yeah.
You can leave whenever you want. You've got the life. I want to be a dolphin. And I'm like, yeah, me too.
Everyone
like, it
wants to
great.
Be a dolphin. Everyone watching the show wants to be a dolphin.
It all, like, this isn't surprising. And so he starts... killing time in his room
by picking up his like scuba flippers and banging on the steam pipes that run through his room, and he gets called to the bridge, and he's so upset that they interrupted his flipper slapping time. He loves flipper slapping time.
So he goes back, and Bridger is all like, well, why did you leave? He's like, no one wanted me here, Captain. I'm like, well, I did. Did you tell him anyone that? No. What I love, though, in this scene is Ford. So Ford and Krieg and O'Neill are, like, right there. And, like, Ford and O'Neill look guilty.
Yes. That's,
like, they're like,
yes.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
We were very rude to the child.
We
Krieg wasn't around for that. He was getting off the maglev.
Yeah.
But, like, they're like, oh.
Oh, no, we made the child disobey captain's orders. Oh, no, we did bad.
Oh, yeah. And so they have just gotten a message from Node 3.
Yes. Node 3 is a part of the Global Telecommunications Network. It is a facility, an undersea dome that is camped where a bunch of the fiber optic cables that crisscross the Pacific intersect.
And the entire internext is routed through there.
Yes.
And so they have asked for some equipment that Sequest has, but they've also asked for the presence of Mr. Lucas Walinchek. And Lucas is not having this. He's like, oh, as soon as there is a computer problem, I'm back in favor. Well, I'm not going. I'm not going to do that. Also, I want money. Fucking pay me. Child labor laws. Give me money.
He mentions child labor laws. We don't know what they are under the UEO, just that they exist.
Yes. And during, like, his outburst here, I also love, like, Krieg has this moment where he's like, do I touch your... How do I make you calm down as you're yelling at the captain?
What do I do here? And yeah, it's this long monologue as he's trying so hard to have a tantrum.
Yeah.
While Captain Bridger is just being too damn responsible for him to have his fucking tantrum. And that's the most frustrating part. Mm-hmm. Because he's like, yeah, I understand. We'll get on that. We'll file the papers. You're right.
Kind of. But he's also a little like... What? What's... Oh, really? Oh, okay.
You keep everything running. Is that so?
Oh, yeah, okay. A little dramatic here, Lucas.
Yeah. He's doing a really good job at, like, deflating Lucas's ire.
Yeah, yes.
Which is making him all the more frustrated because he wants to have righteous ire, damn it.
Yeah, well, it's the thing where you... I mean, he wants a fight. He wants to have a good screaming match. With an adult in authority, it'd be great.
Yeah, and Bridger's just actually listening. Fuck, shit.
This isn't what adults are supposed to do. Lucas probably does not actually have that as experience.
Well, no.
So he is very frustrated and leaves. And the next scene is us arriving at Node 3.
And we are greeted by a mustache!
By Martin Clemens!
Martin Clemens and his mustache are both played by Tim Russ.
Yes.
A handful of years before he would be very recognizable as Tuvok on Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah.
However, this is after his true breakout role playing the We Ain't Found Shit trooper in Spaceballs.
Mm.
That's him.
I've seen Spaceballs like once, not enough to know it.
It's when they're combing the desert and they have giant combs.
Okay. But Voyager.
Yeah.
He, in addition to his mustache, his signature look in the show is a button-up with a vest.
He loves vests. He has three vests over the course of this episode. So many vests.
And they are all very 90 patterns. The thing that is so great about this episode, I think, is, spoiler, much of it is going to take place on Node 3.
Yes.
And there are...
With our guest cast.
Civilians. You know, so people are just in clothes.
They're just in clothes.
Just peak 90s, but futuristic, kind of. Not really, actually.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like...
When the girl has her sweatshirt off one shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what we were doing in 2018. but it is just such peak fashion that we don't get when you're on the ship with the uniforms.
Uniform, yes. Jumpsuit, yeah.
And Lucas gets to wear things other than just baseball shirts.
He does wear a couple baseball shirts.
He does. He arrives in it, but then he wears other shit. And I am here for it. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to see something else. But Martin Clemens is so excited to see him. He's like, Frankenstein! And, like, gives him a big hug. And what I love is Bridger, Crocker, and Krieg are behind Lucas here, and they are so fucking confused.
Yeah, and the culture shock, the culture shift,
yes.
is so huge, especially when Martin looks at Captain Nathan Bridger and says, y'all can hang, right?
Well, and he has to explain, like, oh, Frankenstein, it's hacker's tag.
Yeah.
He's a legend! And they're like, what? Like, we know Lucas is hacking, but, like, what shit is he hacking that we aren't telling him to hack? I'm sure that is going through their brains.
No one has ever told Nathan Bridger, no one has ever said the word hang.
Yeah.
Except for, like, dry cleaning around this man.
Yeah, so Clemens wants to show Lucas some stuff and is like, yeah, you guys hang, come this way. And as he's, like, driving them down some hallways, Lucas is getting stopped and mobbed by teens everywhere.
He's accosted by teens. The teens love him.
Yes.
And Clemens is like giving the tour. So this place needs work. It needs maintenance. There's a lot of internex things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the crew he has is teenagers who love undersea hacker camp so much.
Hacker camp!
Because when adults come through, they hardly last a month. They want to have families and a house with a yard and a car. Things kids don't care about. Kids just want the experience and the mission. Kids love Hacker Camp.
Hacker Camp. How was Hacker Camp, like, not some, like, 90s, like, preteen movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, Blank Check and, like,
Heavyweights.
Heavyweights.
You could definitely put Ben Stiller of that era in Hacker Camp.
There was one other one I was thinking of that I really liked.
Meatballs?
No.
I'm just thinking of
it
camp
It had,
now.
I don't know. There was a lot of summer camp movies back then, and I think Hacker Camp was a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Especially after, like, Jurassic Park, when you got a hacker. Hacker girl. Like, you could then have Hacker Camp movie.
This is coming out alongside Jurassic Park in the history of Spielberg.
Yes. Clemens is having to unlock a door, a fancy-ass door where it's, like, reading his handprint and whatnot. And it's, like, say your name. And so he's, you know, Martin Clemens, Mycroft.
Yeah.
And Lucas is like, what?
Because Mycroft, now there's a legend.
And so he leads them into a fancy-ass hacker room.
Yes, the
node.
The node, the control room of the node is a really cool set. It does look like, it is laid out like a Star Trek bridge, actually.
Star Trek bridge for evil villains.
Yes, because it's all, like,
it's
black out along the walls. All you see is this dais with the hacker stations and the wall of screens. But on the reverse shots, you can see there's, like, a little coffee shop nook.
A lounge sofa.
Yeah.
A little break area.
Yeah, that's great.
And each of the stations is, like, a big screen, and then they got the, like, the keyboard where it's split in two, and you got the, like, mouse in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, that screams hacker.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a regular keyboard.
And so Lucas is welcomed to play a video game, I guess.
Yes.
It is called The Cubes.
Some type
in
of
all caps.
Hacker video game, I guess.
It seems very puzzle-based, and he is so good at the cubes.
Everyone is so impressed.
People are gathering around to watch Lucas do the cubes.
And Bridger is so out of his element. He looks so awkward and confused and unsure in all of this.
Because, like, Bridger right here is being sort of an audience surrogate. He's looking at the cubes and has no idea what the cubes is or why these teens are whooping up the cubes.
Yeah, and, like, Mycroft is even like, oh, the man is a legend. And he's like...
at cubes?
The 17-year-old? First off, man? Legend? What? What is happening? Bridger's like, hey, Lucas, like, we need to get going. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I don't want to leave. Like, this is amazing. Like, you guys are looking at whales in the area. Like, I can stay.
So he gets given a few days.
Well, by Crocker and Krieg's encouragement, which I kind of love. They're like, oh, like, sir, it looks fun. Like, what could happen? I love that they're like... being the voice of reason.
Come on, let the kid cube. He loves to cube.
And Bridger agrees and tries to give him the most awkward, do I hug you? Do I pat you on the back? Do we actually say goodbye?
But Martin, big hug right off the bat. He's a hugger. One thing you gotta know about Mycroft, he's a hugger.
So Mycroft is leading them out. As Lucas stays behind, and Bridger's very, like, you know, like, he doesn't eat once he's on a computer. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't this. And Krieg's like, what he's trying to say is, where are the adults that will shove pizza in his face? And Mycroft is like, oh, we got those. It's fine.
He says we have a support staff of 5 plus Wendy, and he points off screen to an implied Wendy. Do we ever see Wendy?
No.
No. We're all going to pretend Wendy exists.
My assumption is Wendy cooks the food and calls them all to dinner.
Wendy is just the Lunch Lady Land skit from Saturday Night Live.
So after he gets them off the station, Mycroft comes back to the hacker room, and he's like, okay, let's get hacking and cracking.
Because it's time to introduce
Juliana and Nick.
Juliana, aka Red Menace.
Yes, a very cute girl that Lucas has already kind of made eyes at. Mm-hmm. And then Nick is Wolfman.
Yes. He's reunited with his gamer bro Wolfman.
His favorite internet friend that he's never met before.
This is one place where Sequest really predicted the future.
They predicted the future so hard.
Getting to meet your online buddy who you may or may not know what they look like.
And that you aren't sure if you actually know their real name.
Yes, yes.
But we just did this earlier this month. Or last month, in October. We're like, hey!
Hey!
Internet person! Other internet person!
So Juliana is played by Sarah Koskoff. Earlier in 1993, mere weeks before this aired, she was seen as Teresa Nemen, the abductee in the X-Files pilot, and would return in that role in latter seasons. Whereas Nick, Wolfman, played by Seth Green. Previously, he had been in the It miniseries with Jonathan Brandis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a big year for Seth. He has 7 IMDb credits dated 1993.
Wow. He was also in The X-Files.
The second episode of The X-Files as a UFO spotter. So, Jonathan Brandis never made it to The X-Files, but what if he had? What if he was in episode 3?
And that would have been good.
That would have been perfect.
That would have been good.
What even is X-Files episode 3? What would he have been getting up to? Oh, that's Squeeze. That he would have died.
Oh.
Tombs would have killed him.
That's fine. Like, I'm saying, like, he can play a character that dies.
It's
like,
fine.
It's okay. Like, I don't... I mean, did Seth Green make it out of his episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was just, like, on the road telling Mulder and Scully where to see the real shit.
Didn't Seth Green's, like, friend die or something?
Probably.
I feel like there was someone who died in that. There's always someone who dies in an X-Files episode. Like,
it's... Well, yeah. Otherwise, the FBI wouldn't be involved.
Right? So, like, yeah. After the introductions and the excitement of internet friends.
Internex friends.
Excuse me.
Wolfman!
Wolfman and Frankie united at last.
We never see the avatar of Red Menace.
We don't.
And I'm so curious.
I absolutely believe there's giant boobs.
Is it Che Guevara with a huge rack? Is it? I want it to be.
Mycroft starts in on a very long speech.
Yes.
All asking, like, Lucas, you know, about, like, what he thinks about the world.
Yeah. Is it good? Is it bad?
It sucks.
Lucas says it sucks. And so...
He's like, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we can make it better.
If you could make the world better, would you try? And this is an irresistible pitch to Lucas, the good-hearted, like, why do you think he's on Sequest? He wants to be in the rescue, throwing blankets at people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, you know, his parents didn't want him, so there's that.
But then what does he take to? What excites him?
It's about doing good.
Yeah.
And Lucas is someone, like, if you've paid attention to the episodes that have come before this, is, even when he's getting into trouble, he is the, like, voice of morality?
Yes.
Like, when you think about, like, Krieg, who's gonna, like, sell all the long underwear, he's like, that's bad karma. Like, that's gonna come back and get you, Krieg. Like, that's awful. You shouldn't do that.
You know who I think Krieg's karma guy is? Regulator.
I was gonna say Murray.
Murray has no karma to sell.
Murray does, like, Reiki through the video at Krieg for payment.
My favorite thing about Reiki is that officially, Reiki masters will say, you don't have to believe in Reiki to actually do Reiki. It's all right. That's part of Reiki dogma.
When I took that peace studies class, which, like, 70% of it I liked and the rest was, there was a Reiki practitioner that came.
Yeah, how did that go?
She told us it cured her blindness.
Did it?
She seemed to be getting around okay. I was told my hands were cold and I had to hold some rocks that would heat them up.
Yeah? How'd that go?
I think my hands did get sweaty, but that's because I was like, what do I do with these rocks, though? I'd like to stop holding them.
All right, Reiki, 100% proven. You heard it here.
Because I just kept holding rocks all day. I much preferred when we brought the massage therapist in, and I volunteered, because they were, like, showing, like, you know, like, techniques for, like, shoulders and whatnot. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll be your guinea pig. And the woman, she was supposed to do it on multiple people, but she got so distracted because of how tense my shoulders were that I got, like, a 35-minute massage out of it because she was like, oh, my God. She's like, we gotta work this out before you get out of this chair. And I was just like, that was great.
This is my greatest challenge.
Kind of. And then, like, class was over and she couldn't, like... I went to an art school explains this class a lot, and it was led by the hippiest teacher ever.
So Lucas has been hooked, right? The guy that believes in doing good even beyond the structures of the military, the structures and procedures that he's brushing up against so much in his teenage ways.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is time for Tim Russ, Mycroft, to really let him in on what they actually do here in Node 3.
Yeah, they're hacking, money.
They're hacking the money!
They're gonna, like, reroute money from the bad guys to the good guys.
So there is some general somewhere who has embezzled these funds, and they've identified the bank transfer he's about to make, and they use their incredible cooperative hacking skills to reroute that stolen money to a poor rural hospital.
Yes.
And now it's going to buy vaccines and bandages and do good in the world. This is the power of Robin Hooding digitally.
Yes. Yeah, Mycroft is all like, you know, I'm not worried about getting caught. The money's already stolen. Who's going to complain about the stolen money being stolen from those who stole it? And I'm like, you are true there.
It's the perfect scheme.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah. You should buy vaccines and bandages now while you still can.
So back on the Sequest, Wes Phelan is having a little chat with Bridger, who's not handling all of this very well.
Because they have both raised adult children, they've been there, and Bridger is dealing with the fact that, okay, just because I've been here doesn't make it any easier, this child confounds me.
He's like, I know more about these whales than this child! I don't know what to do! And Wes Phelan's just like, he's gonna do everything the opposite of what you say. Yeah. He's a teenager.
One of her lines is, quote, they have to irritate you, it's their job. You know, it's that stage where any decision they make and you don't is the best one. And the more it upsets you, the better it is.
Yeah. And so...
She mentions her daughter has a degree in, like...
One of her many degrees.
Yes. Because, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the multidisciplinary tree,
yes.
I guess.
Is
in some sort of, like...
Nutrition?
Nutritional microbiology. And whenever they get together, she still asks her daughter, are you eating enough?
Don't ask anyone that. That's, like, the worst thing to ask your daughter. Food is, like, not a conversation starter, other than, like, you want to go get a coffee? Like, you're allowed. You can say that. Everything else is off the table.
She can't help herself. She's a mom.
This is why so many teenagers have eating disorders.
You know what Red Menace has instead of an eating disorder? Those glasses!
She has... I don't get... Why does she need readers? She's 16!
Maybe they're fashion glasses.
I'm just like,
they're for
what?
Glare.
Why?
They're for screen glare.
This is far before that. This is like...
have you know, it's 2018.
It's 2018.
It should be 2019 if you follow the show's chronology.
Well, I feel like no one knew about, like, the glasses for, like, being on a computer until COVID. It's, like, a year too early still.
But her glasses, she has round wireframe glasses.
So 90s.
But the nose bridge is so overdeveloped.
It's so big.
It's like becoming a rhinoceros horn of glasses.
And she's like petite.
Yeah.
So like they look fucking gigantic on her face. But anyways, Lucas is in the, like, cafeteria.
Yes.
Talking to the girl.
And Hacker Camp cafeteria seems to be three microwaves.
Yes, take a frozen dish and warm it up. So,
what happened to Wendy? Where's Wendy?
Wendy stocks the frozen food.
Okay.
So he's, you know, getting the scoop on everything. That basically everyone there is a teen genius, like, you know, him. And how...
Yeah, Wolfman is a late bloomer. He only graduated MIT at age 17.
Yeah, yeah. Wolfman is eating taquitos with chopsticks?
Hell yeah! Hell yeah! That's hacking, baby.
I guess you want to keep your fingers not greasy.
Crash override, hack the planet, fuck yeah!
So, once they've warmed up their food, they go join Wolfman and Mycroft. Mycroft is talking about a hack he did when he was a kid, and he went to, like, juvenile rehab for it. And then he very quickly skips the next part of his life before he ended up there, which was getting cozy with corruption, and that's all we're gonna say about it.
Well, the hack that he did that got him in trouble, again, very much like Crash Override in the film Hackers, is he shut down ARPANET. He shut down the proto-internet for the defense network.
Yeah.
And that got him 3 years as a juvenile offender.
But then we're not going to talk about the rest of my life.
No, we're going to
skip over some stuff, and now I'm here.
And now I'm at Node 3 fighting the good fight. Hell yeah.
And I'm going to leave now. So he leaves, and then immediately Lucas is like, what the fuck does that mean? And Wolfman explains that, like, oh, well, he was involved with the government and, like, saw some things.
And no one knows what, but, like, he was, yeah, yeah. And now he's atoning for something here at Node 3.
Yeah.
Turning Hacker Camp into his own cult. This scene ends, like, I don't understand why it is significant. Yeah. There are two things that they keep going back to. Number one, don't eat the sushi.
Yeah.
Everyone tells him not to eat the sushi. He wants to eat the sushi. Don't eat the sushi.
He has, like, pizza on his plate. So I also don't know why they're telling him not to eat the sushi.
Because he's an international guy. He eats pizza with his sushi. He's a world traveler.
You know, I'm not going to eat sushi that needs to be defrosted in the microwave.
That's why everyone's warning him against it. And then he has this clumsy moment where his glass of Ecto Cooler spills off his tray and shatters.
It's so weird, and I've always hated it, that scene, because I was like, you definitely, like, planned for there to be some other scene about, like, him being awkward with teens or something. But, like, everyone thinks he's the coolest fucker.
Yeah, and,
so,
like,
it doesn't go with this story ever.
And it doesn't seem like an offhanded bit of improvisation or lucky accident to make that point. There's a whole other camera setup top down to watch it fall.
And, like, no one reacts to it. There's no reason for this at all to happen.
It's really out of place. Being orphaned from a callback that was cut or something would make sense. Because, yeah, it's just alone.
Yeah, and again, everyone thinks he's amazing. It's not like he's trying to, like, fit in or something. That's not the story here.
So yes, in the hacker pod,
they are talking about Brazil and its civil war.
Keep in mind for future episodes, there's been a Brazilian civil war.
And so they are looking at a topographical map that shows stress in the country.
Yeah, yeah. Mycroft has put together an algorithm that notes a lot of different things, like
crime, corruption, election fraud,
like domestic abuse. There are a lot of variables he's tracking to make a spatial map of where things are shitty right now.
Yeah. And so he tells Lucas to filter for election fraud. And Lucas is, like, looking at all the stuff, and he's like, oh.
There's a lot of election fraud in the deep jungle.
Yes.
maybe, in Sequest 2018, the whole rainforest is gone. We lost it.
I think so, actually. I absolutely think this.
Yeah.
The whole rainforest is gone.
It's densely populated to make all of this election fraud possible, just numerically.
Yeah. And so he's looking at all this data, and he's like, oh, they're cheating. Like, yeah, you're looking at election fraud.
That's literally what it is, yes.
And Clemens is like, make it right.
So after about 30 seconds of typing, he has fixed election fraud.
Yes, he has fixed it.
He's
inserted a monitoring virus to like let them know if fraud happens again, which I'm kind of like, why didn't they already have that set up if they could monitor it? Shouldn't they have that?
Because the person fraudulently elected is good for U.S. and NORPAC interests.
Yeah.
So yeah, he has returned the power to the people because he's that cool.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of like, oh, Lucas, you've made the world better. Yeah.
Sometimes when you make the world better, a girl gives you a little kiss in the hallway.
Because we're over in the dorms now. It's Lucas and Nick and Juliana, and, Juliana's like, okay, bye, Nick, see you later! And he's like, oh, okay.
There is a version of this story where Juliana and Wolfman were a thing before Lucas got into the node, and that causes some real strife in the friend group.
I also think there's a version of this story where Nick really wants Lucas to.
Neither of those are present. But, neither, you know,
of those are present.
We exist in an AO3 world, you know, via con Dios, man.
Sure, there's AO3. Probably fanfiction.net.
Yes.
This is the time before AO3, so.
We're in live journal times, baby. Live journal
zines.
Yes.
I did find, like, last year, scans of like, yes, really freaking old Sequest zines.
Yes, I haven't read them, but because a number of them are novel length individual fix.
They're so long.
But I have seen the zines.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Some of the art that's on them is, oh my gosh.
There was some artists that did work on several zine titles, some big name fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's I love to see an ecosystem like that.
Yes.
Much like Sequest and the whales.
The whale. So once Nick leaves, Lucas gets that little peck on the cheek, and Juliana hops in her room, and he's kind of standing there for a second, like,
hey.
And then she
usually, if I want this, I gotta rescue someone from when they were orphaned 8 years ago.
And then she reopens her bedroom door and is like, okay, you can come in now. As she takes off her glasses.
Hell yeah. She doesn't have to see up close.
What did you need those 5 seconds for?
She was turning all of her stuffed animals away, so they're facing the wall.
Yeah. Mr. McFlufferson can't see what's going to happen.
No, we're about to get depraved.
Lucas comes in, and she's talking all about, like, how she had this image of him. She expected him to be brilliant, but didn't think he'd be so cute.
Because she was picturing Boris Karloff as Frankenstein. That's not a joke. She says as much. Well, we only had your internex avatar to go off of.
And then she talks about how when Nick and her were hacking the UEO codes, and then he's like, wait, what?
Stands up like a bolt went through him, which did almost happen a few episodes back.
And what we find out is that they didn't actually need that equipment that they had requested.
These chips grow on trees. It's fine.
They were creating a way to get Lucas to come here.
Totally spoofed the message, including its verification.
Yes.
And he's both impressed and shocked that anyone would do such a thing. UEO's the good guys. That guy who embezzled money and you give it to the sick kids, all right, that's one thing, but wait a minute. We're keeping the peace out here. We're rescuing treasures from the Library of Alexandria out here.
And he's very like, I just want to know what's going on.
And
she kisses him more. And that answers the question.
First, they could have sent a card. They didn't have to do this.
They could have just been like, hey, Lucas, you want to come to Node 3?
Yeah.
We both are there.
We're your friend. You want to meet up IRL? And then there would be someone who has to explain to Krieg what IRL means. Well, no, Krieg knows. Explain to Bridger.
Yeah, Krieg knows from his dating sites.
But also, there's a lovely, wonderful edit in that the sound from the next scene plays over the end of this scene.
Which is
and the way it crosses over, is there's this huge cheer for kissing.
Yes! It's so good!
And then, yeah, the visual cut happens, and the cheer is actually for more video games.
Now we got, like, a three-layered board going on.
We're done with cubes. We're playing with triangles. We're doing some sort of triple-layer, constantly shifting Chinese checkers.
And, like, Lucas and Nick are, like, battling each other, and everyone's watching and cheering. And then Mycroft comes in, and everyone's...
Enough games. It's time for the work.
And he's like, you know, I was like you. I was smart and too young to know it.
My sanctuary was in the streets.
Yes! He's like, I didn't have places to hide like you. My sanctuary was in the streets. So I see things differently than you.
Now, this is again said Lucas by a man.
Lucas is just there playing games.
He has the mustache of a social studies teacher and the fashion sense of a Cosby Show guest star. You're from the streets?
The streets are very different. Like, well, also, like...
I have to wonder, like, the backstory for Commander Ford, yes. That I don't know if it ever gets in the show.
It
I don't
doesn't.
Recall.
It doesn't.
It's all over
all.
The spinoff
it's
novels.
In the book. Yeah, it's in the books. It does not come
is
to the show at all.
He comes from gangs, and he got in
the
Detroit. Military.
Gangs to, of Detroit.
I thought it was East Chicago. Maybe it depends
maybe
on
Chicago,
which novel you're wearing.
Maybe it's Detroit. I know it's somewhere I've lived
but
around.
Like, it is like from the projects, troubled urban youth. That's the backstory they give to the one black guy in Sequest.
Really glad they didn't go with that for the show.
And now they get the... So we've had two major black guest stars before who don't go into their past.
Yeah.
And also don't seem like their sanctuary was the streets.
No.
Yafikoto, maybe. I honestly think his bearing of his character fits that better than Ford, frankly.
Ford is just so weird.
But it does... Call that to mind all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Mycroft is having a moment here. He's talking about how, like, this is his apology for the bad things he's done at his fingertips.
And Lucas is like, oh, you mean when you crashed the ARPANET? And he said, no, I paid my time for that. It's the other thing that no one knows about, my deep dark secret.
And now it's time to end the pain. And with that, he hits a button and the World Bank logo splashes on the screen.
Well, it flashes up after and like Kuleshov effect, therefore connected to... All these images of, like, severe, like, weather patterns, like, hurricanes.
Yes.
And that is a wild, radical connection for this show, you know, beamed into everyone's homes, Sundays on NBC to be making, that the global neoliberal order is tied directly to disastrous weather events. And not in, like, they're sending storms to destroy their enemy's way, but, like, it behooves the powerful to keep extracting fossil fuels and therefore ... way.
Mm-hmm.
You get all that in just a second.
Yeah.
And you know that's where Mycroft is at.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so this is when Mycroft lets Lucas know that they have brought him here to hack the World Bank because they have all tried and they have all failed and he's better than them and can do it. And Lucas is like, that's impossible. And he's like, oh, impossible, like UEO codes. And he's like, no, that's just hard.
And Mycroft is giving him the hardest sell. He's talking about why this is the most righteous mission. This isn't just money. This is money. This is the money that funds governments and wars. And if you can direct the flow of money, you can create a better world. This is the underlying corruption and greed that is the source of all evil and harm in the world. And if we shape the network, if the network is guided by our hands, what could we do? What utopia could we birth? He's making like a Masonic triangle with his hands. He's gone full cult leader. And I feel like if maybe Lucas was given a couple weeks here, Mycroft wouldn't be pushing so hard so fast.
Yeah.
The clock is ticking on Mycroft's plans.
Those whales are going to move. Can't box in the whales.
People tried. They complained. They did not like it, those whales.
So Lucas is very much like sitting there like, what the fuck is going on? But is given his little headset and is like, okay, I'll hack. And then we get the montage of hacking.
The thinking montage. And I love near the end of the montage, someone brings him pizza on a napkin.
Yes.
Maybe that's Wendy.
I was going to say, that's Wendy. I mean, like, you need to eat. That's how we know time has gone by. Is because someone needs to bring him napkin pizza. And so...
napkin pizza would be my hacker handle. I would have a very silly avatar.
Too bad we already made our Blue Sky accounts.
It would definitely be like those documentaries about like the like huge VR chat room worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where like people go in and there's these super hot people and really elaborate like K-pop explosions of accessories.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of like your fursuit gone wild stuff. And then there's just a hot dog with a face bouncing around. And he's everybody's friend.
Yeah.
That's me. I'd be napkin pizza.
Mr. Napkin Face.
Yeah. Smoking's real bad for you kids.
So Lucas, though, is just like, after this montage, is like, oh, it's impossible. And Nick and Juliana both rush him and start massaging his shoulders.
And then they start a group brainstorm session, mm-hmm. and they're throwing out what's the idea that's going to get us across the finish line. And it's Nick comes up with
hacker language.
Bullshit hacker stuff that, whether it's real or not, it's not deployed in a way that's at all relatable. No. This is not the Matrix, right? That's not the place we're coming from here.
And so Lucas spends like 15 seconds doing some typing and is like, oh, we're in!
Just needed that one last eureka idea. And he gets a big smooch from the Red Menace.
Yes. I love it.
As Wolfman gives a group hug to both of them as they smooch.
I love it. I love That's it friends. So much.
That's friends. He doesn't have this on Sequest. He doesn't have friends.
No.
He
doesn't get hugs.
There's no huggers on Sequest.
The only person that's hugged him is Wes Phelan. When they were on a raft, maybe going to die. This kid needs to be touched.
And we can't count on always needing, on always being about to die.
Yeah.
That's thankfully a sometimes thing.
And he ain't going to get smooched on that boat. Regularly.
Yeah, that'd be a thing.
It's not appropriate. So
the most you're gonna get from Krieg is just like mussing his hair, like, there you go, kid.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the manual about proper affection for junior members of the crew, so Ford is lost.
Ford's like, I don't know what to do.
I'm
gonna always keep 6 feet between us. Bridger is on Sequest, mm-hmm. in Lucas's room.
A little sad, a little creepy, but mostly sad.
And he's looking through some of Lucas's like movie music storage stuff, mm-hmm, and O'Neill,
his tackle box of cards.
Yes.
His digital insert cards.
And so O'Neill's like, hey, we got Lucas on, and like, oh, patch him through. And Lucas is like, hey, why are you in my room?
He makes up some story about, like, getting back some movies that Lucas borrowed from him.
But you know it's just that he misses him?
He just misses him. He wants to be in the smelliest, smelliest part of his ship.
No, this room smells like fish.
It's not built for a bunk. There's no ventilation.
No!
There can't be.
Honestly, I kind of love it because I have this, like, idea in my head that they were like, we suddenly have a child and he can't bunk with anyone else, but we can't give him like a officer's quarters, so what are we gonna do? Let's put him in this storage room. We can put a cot in here.
That's definitely where they had the like big bleach jugs for cleaning, mm-hmm, night. Yes
And so it has like no air vents, like that's why pipes are running through it.
Yes,
it's why it's dark and tiny,
and there's a pillar in the center.
Uh-huh. And I love...
It's not made for like, the layout is not for a bedroom, yeah. No.
I also like to think there was something like, oh, we're not used to children's noises, so we put you, like, all the way up here, like Pollyanna.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So he can do his cool dude air guitar.
Yeah.
And talk like Frankenstein.
Bridger also, like, moves the camera, so... Lucas can see Darwin in the window, and he's like, oh, he misses you. But you also know, like, Bridger means, like, I miss you.
Yeah.
And he's like, so when are you coming back? you want to stay there, don't you? You want to stay there for a while. There, like, forever. He's like, yeah, I want to stay here for, like,
because you kind of ever. Took over the world a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And Bridger's like, okay, well, you need to tell your parents. And he's like, no, I don't. They don't fucking care. And he's like, no, you need to. I don't need to tell my parents.
Okay, but it's your responsibility to tell them where what you're doing. Just because they don't care doesn't mean they shouldn't know.
I get what you're saying, Bridger, but also, like, And Lucas is just like, oh, I'll think about it. Well, man, we'll think about it. And that's about, like, the end of their conversation. And so once that call ends, Darwin is like, Lucas Leaf Pod?
I love that Darwin's conception of the Sequest crew is just a really big pod of dolphins.
It's his pod!
Most of them are so bad at swimming. It's embarrassing, you guys. Frankly, you're the worst dolphins I've ever seen.
And Bridger's like, yeah, maybe. And then Darwin's like, big ocean, big fun!
It's time for big fun! It's time for big
fun, big fun! And we go back to Lucas and Juliana smooching!
They are never not making out. From the first peck to the end of the episode, they live in each other's tonsils.
I mean, they're 17. We lived in each other's tonsils.
Thank God. It's better than anywhere else I was going.
Also, Lucas has not seen a girl he's allowed to smooch since
his brothers and sisters.
Yeah. So, like, you better believe he's gonna, like, suck face.
Juliana has, if she wanted it, like, the pick of the place. Like, there is, like, a 5-to-1 gender ratio. She's not the only girl, but they are outnumbered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Lucas.
But Lucas.
Lucas. But they are interrupted by Nick coming in with brain food.
Yes. What is the brain food?
It's like pizza.
Yeah, it is.
Some pop. And so then they start talking about Mycroft.
All this is just not quite sitting well with Lucas, and he presents this as a challenge. What do hackers love more than anything? Going where they're told not to go.
Mm-hmm.
Especially teenage hackers.
Yes. And so he's like, man, I wonder what he was up to. You know, no one knows what he did or where he went. And, like, Nick is like, you know, I'm kind of curious, too. Maybe we should, like, do something.
So he tries to convince his buddies to solve the mystery of Mycroft. And he gets Nick on his side, but not Juliana.
No. And so as they're, like, rushing out to go start their hack, she's like, it's dangerous. And Lucas is like, we're hackers. We live for this.
The most Jurassic Park moment of the episode.
Also, you can't tell. It's against the code.
Hacker code.
Hacker code.
Hackers are all about code.
I just keep imagining that, like, photo of Rami Malek when filming Mr. Robot, and he was like, hacker. And his, like, hoodie and his backpack. And I just keep imagining, like, them doing that anytime they talk about hacker something.
There's a moment at the end of this scene when they're leaving where Seth Green does this, like, crouch and point straight at Juliana that is the most, like, 17-year-old dude who thinks he's the shit, and he kind of almost is. I love it. He's great in this. He's really good in this. And I think this moment where they're about to go and solve the Mycroft hack, and I think it pays off the relationship they have as actors from It a few years earlier. I think it really helps for them to have this immediate, like, relationship they fall into.
Yeah.
To have previously developed that. And I wish they had more scenes where they were bros.
Yeah. Well, and it's so good, too, because, like, you know that they've had this relationship, like, and they've been friends online. And it's the whole thing of, like, they did not just meet each other for the first time.
Right.
And it really solidifies what internet friendships can be.
Yeah.
Of where, like, you just fall into it. Even though you've never met before, you've never talked in person, more often than not, you know each other well enough that you just fall into, it's like you hang out every week.
Yeah.
And that's what they do, and it's good.
They sell that whole relationship in this moment.
Yeah.
And it has to be this moment, because so much of the screen time is Lucas doing the work, Lucas doing the romance.
Yeah.
There's not a lot left for Wolfman.
No. And that's like, I do love, though, how he's, like, always trying to insert himself.
Yes. Yes.
Which also is why I'm like, Wolfman really wants some time with Lucas.
Like, all three of these guest actors are doing really good work. Tim Russ is just going off in religious reverie whenever the World Bank comes up. It's insane, and I love it. But Seth Green is... There's a reason he was, like, 1 week from being Seth Green celebrity when this came out, right?
So they go to the hacker room, and they start... Hacking. They find out that Clemens worked for NORPAC and the CIA.
Which were both rumors, and it turns out both the rumors are true. He was on both sides working against each other.
And Juliana can't stay away because she joins them to, like, observe the happenings. And then, like, they are like, oh... This is when that stuff was going on with China. This is when my parents were scared. Yeah, my parents cried a lot, too.
Yeah.
Like, it gets really dark all of a sudden.
Like, this is 8 years ago for 17-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like, their memory of the time is very strange.
Yeah.
I love that, like, switch into the very childlike view of history.
Yeah, and very, like it something... It was a very heavy, very world-changing thing that was going on then. And while we find out, like, you find out very little about it.
Right.
It's
But as 9-year-olds, they cared about Pokemon cards and noticed, my mom is really stressed lately. Ah, whatever.
My mom's just crying a lot. That's weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
They get to where there's the information about the Chinese military computer hack. And Lucas... In finding all this, finds that he killed someone.
He killed someone. And right when all the juicy details are about to come out, Mycroft,
his face goes all like Wizard of Oz on
yes,
the screen.
He's on every screen. And he just says, clear the room.
Wolfman and Frankenstein, stay.
And so he enters and no one leaves.
Actually, everyone else leaves.
Okay.
They all are rushing out. Except
Juliana. For
Juliana.
She was not named, but she's staying all the same.
And what I want to know is, where were you filming that on yourself that you were just outside the door?
He was on his phone. He's on TikTok. He's making a TikTok. Yeah. Hacker camp needs to be a TikTok house. They should be hacker fluencers.
Oh.
Yes.
So
that's why they got all those chips that they pretended they needed. It's a sponsorship deal.
So Mycroft is like, hey, look at this footage of a dude dying. And just puts it on every screen.
Yes.
The security footage of a dude getting shot.
If you want the secret, here it is. Quote, I put a photon bullet in his head.
Yeah. It's the footage we saw earlier,
but now we see it from the reverse angle, and we see the face, the identity of this assailant.
Yes.
That is not Mycroft.
No.
That is a Chinese man.
That is a Chinese man, yes. Mycroft fills us in.
Some backstory. It was 2010. They needed a new kind of soldiers to fight the wars of the digital age. Soldiers like him. And so he was, working for all of these people, sometimes against one another. What a life, you know. But China, oh boy, Ascendant China. We're all so scared about this. Remember, this is written in 1993. Boy, were we. So his mission was to disrupt the Chinese information networks, their personal walled-off internet. And no one could do it. No one could crack it. He needed to find a way in to get at the guys like him on the Chinese side. And so what he did was he drove a person crazy.
Yes. He drove a junior member of this team to think that the senior member of this team was, like, working for them and getting, like, putting secrets out and all this stuff. And
then he completely managed all the information reaching this guy to convince him that not only was his superior a spy, it was his duty, even his mission, to execute his superior officer. And whenever he was, like, trying to like file complaints or move things up the chain. He was intercepting those messages and responding in turn to totally curate this parallel reality that caused the hacker attack we saw in the cold open.
Yes. My team thought I was a hero, but when I wouldn't tell them how I did it, they kicked me out.
He's been wearing colorful vests ever since.
And so then we cut to Lucas, Juliana, and Nick, like, going into the dorms, and Lucas is like, so this whole thing is about him killing this guy,
yeah,
and trying to make himself feel better.
So yeah, the greatest atonement he can make is controlling the global flow of cash via the World Bank network.
And
that's what will make it right. That's what will purge his soul clean.
And Juliana's just like, oh, well, yeah, you know, it's the right, we're helping people, we're doing the right thing. And Lucas is like, what if we fuck up?
Yeah.
We could hurt millions of people if we fuck this up. This is not a good thing. This is not okay.
He has seen the logic. That's how he got into the door before they launched the further hack to go through that door and seize the network. That's the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, he has seen that they are led by a mortal, fallible man.
Yes.
And so what if this mortal, fallible man and all of us idiot children make the wrong call in all these densely interconnected macro systems?
So, Lucas is very not on board with this. Nick is, like, coming to Lucas's side, and Juliana is still very, like, not sure.
The possibility for catastrophic accidents.
Yeah.
Too great. He's here spilling his glasses and making messes. What if that happens in the network?
Mm-hmm.
Ecto cooler everywhere. Now there's a famine.
So, Lucas calls Bridger
mm-hmm.
for some Papa advice time.
Bridger had fallen asleep reading a Dashiell Hammett novel. The title, I don't think, is visible, but boy, is the author name huge. And I think that really fits Bridger's reading.
Yeah.
He is the hard-boiled detective story guy.
Oh, okay.
He invented Sam Spade.
Honestly, that seems a little more exciting than what I think Bridger would normally read.
He'd read about kelp.
Yeah.
Keep up to date with what's going on in Kelp.
He'd have some of the books I have that are, like, really just, like, university research novels.
Yeah.
That's what Bridger would read a lot of. So, yeah, Lucas calls him, and Bridger is instantly like, are you okay? You good?
You still having fun?
And he's like, hey, so you remember when you talked to me about responsibility? How do you know if you're doing the right thing? And honestly, Bridger takes this all much better than I think he should, because I think he should be like, what the fuck's happening?
He is a parenting superhero. This is amazing. Because what would any real person do? He would say,
what the fuck are you up to?
We're coming to get you right now. And Lucas would run and hide in a hole and be only more confused, be only more lost. And Bridger instead stops that impulse and it just, like, gives him Zen koans to guide him along the way.
Yes. And, you know, Lucas asks a few more questions of, like, well, how do you know you're doing the right thing? And, how do you, like, if what you're doing is going to affect someone? And Bridger, again, with this whole Zen stuff, is just very, like, well, only thing we leave in this world is affecting people. It's our choice is what do we leave in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very good advice, Bridger.
And so, like, instead of, like, coming in like a parent and saying, all right, time to wrap this up, he's empowering Lucas to make decisions on his own judgment and trying to, like, set up how one weighs these factors,
yeah,
which is exactly what Lucas is asking.
And
to untangle this knot.
The fact that you can't always know everything and you will make mistakes, but you learn from the decisions you make and may try to make better ones in the future. And Lucas is like, okay, gonna go do things now.
And he cuts the call and he leaves, and we linger on a moment of Bridger just, like, sitting there hoping he said the right thing. Because, if this goes the wrong way, if this blows up and they accidentally start, you know, some national collapse and there's blood in the streets, somewhere because the World Bank, like, fudges a decimal point somewhere. Bridger's gonna wish he said the other thing, and, like, we're coming to get you right now, young man.
These moments between Lucas and Bridger are just so good when they happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good. So, everyone is rushing the hacker room the next day.
That
it
has
is time to hack.
Similar circular doors to Sequest, but not nearly as cool.
Not as cool.
Because it's a flat circle instead of a quarters of a sphere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Clemens starts in on his shit about how we're gonna transfuse this web of blood with pure light of morality.
You can tell he's serious because he's not wearing a cool vest.
And so he tells them to start hacking. And they all do.
And we are seeing the international monetary flow as a global map with red lines that are zapping across, showing, like, major transfers of money and therefore power, influence, corruption, evil.
And while everyone is hacking away, Nick and Lucas are on their little, like, headsets. And Juliana's like, I'm also here, too, because I guess they got a little secure chat going.
Because whenever two dudes with headsets start talking about their feelings, a girl has to chime in.
Yes.
Weird that it's happened twice.
And what Nick is points out is like, hey, that like that transfer, I almost lost it because they're hacking away into transfers already. And he was like, oh, this one's starting to go. But then like he gets it back and he's like, this is really unstable. You're right, Lucas. This is not good.
But with the whole team, they are getting like continent by continent, confederation by confederation control of the flow. And then all those red moving lines become green solid lines all around the world.
And during this, Lucas is like, I'm going to stop it. And so he's like hacking away as Mycroft is like, ah, the World Bank is fully trapped. It's mine. And Lucas is, again, doing stuff, and the screens all go black.
Right, right. And, you know, Mycroft is so far gone. If we're talking so much at his, and following his own framing about, you know, the money is power, is corruption, is evil, what does he become when he has all the money?
And so when the screen goes black, Mycroft is like, what the fuck is going on? And Lucas is like, you know, I shut it down. It's wrong. We're not doing this. And Mycroft, of course, is like, you can't stop me. And just like shoves a child out of a chair.
Because now it is time for hacker fight. Hacker fight!
And so he starts hacking to bring it back. And Lucas starts hacking to shut it down. Angrily saying things at each other. Like, you're making us do this. You're trying to like make it better from when you killed a man, and you're making us be bad now too.
Is it so bad to want to make the world a better place after you drive someone to homicide?
No, but maybe this isn't the way to do it. I don't know. But yeah, so they're going back and forth, and then like Lucas tries to be like, you know, you said it before, Clemens, it hurts in here. As he points to his chest.
Yeah, yeah.
Dumbest shit. Clemens, like, you're a child. You don't know pain.
A thing that makes this show really stick in my head, in my heart, is how unabashedly corny it can be so very often.
So often, and I love it. I love it. They sell it so hard.
Yes.
When you get these corny ass lines and they just do it so like from the heart.
This is the like contemporary sci-fi equivalent of what would you have me do?
Bananas?
This lives in that zone.
So Lucas hacks back and shuts it all down again, and Mycroft shoots up and starts choking the shit out of Lucas.
Please don't murder the child. Don't murder the child, please.
And as Juliana and Nick are trying to pull him off, Nick then decides on a different plan, which is to go bring up the video of the guy getting killed on every screen, which, like, cuts Mycroft out of his choke craze.
Yeah, yeah. Look, this is all to, like, heal your soul after killing someone indirectly. Just the idea of
pull the shot before, but this time, this time you were actually murdering a child.
Just the idea of having such powerful control of every bit of information getting to a person. You can drive them to do anything. You can make them kill their boss in cold blood. That's scary. That's great. That is a whole episode right there. I love that. That's something that lives in much harder science fiction than Sequest DSV.
Yeah. So this video snaps Mycroft out of it, and Lucas is all like, you know, you've been hiding behind machines trying to fix this, mm-hmm. but it's all, you know, it's all a magic trick. This isn't right. You can't, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Quote, you can't help someone until you know who they are. Whoa, man. That is a fine moral for the family sitting at home to hear in their day-to-day lives. It is inadequate to the actions and impact of the World Bank and International Monetary Fund. You cannot fix neocolonialism on an interpersonal scale.
Yeah.
And this is where the episode really falls down for me, because like, Mycroft is, in a way, a prefigurement of the right but too much villain that has been so dominant in films.
Yeah.
From the last 15 years and present a long, long time before it.
Yes. Well, and like, it's like, Lucas, you're right about some things, but then you're not right. You're not. And the thing is like, this is still, though, this is the time that Lucas, again, still thinks like, okay, he talked about the world sucking, but he still thinks like, UEO good. Yeah. This thing good. Like, it's still a black and white world to him. Which is gonna change later on.
It's a 3-season show. He's got time.
He's got some time. Yeah, he's not at a point yet where it's like, well, there's...
And like, the UEO could be the thing that changes the harm caused by and maintained by the World Bank. But it seems like they're not.
They're not.
This is, again, another time where I wish we saw more of the world state outside the boat.
Yeah.
Because I don't, like...
That world building of, like, what is going on. Yeah.
Where does the UEO stand on imposing austerity and privatization on the developing world? What is the developing world in Sequest's vision of how 2018 could have gone?
Yeah.
These are very relevant questions that inform and even determine the politics of Episode 12 Photon Bullet that we just don't have to work with.
Yeah. So, with all this, though, Lucas convinces Mycroft to shut it down, and he does. And then we cut to everyone leaving. Well, yeah. Lucas leaving. Mm-hmm. And that means we got Nick trying to convince him to stay. We got hugs.
Big hugs.
We got Juliana giving him a big hug, too, right as the door opens with, like, Bridger and Ford coming out, and she walks away, and Bridger's like, oh, she's cute. He's like, yeah, she is. Good thing we weren't sucking face right then.
For once.
It's so weird they don't kiss during that
They share one pair of lungs in this episode.
But then we find out that Clemens is getting a ride with the Sequest as well.
Yeah, like, apparently there was some UEO orders that came through. Huh, funny how that goes.
It is very interesting, too, because, like, he's like, oh, thank you for the ride, you know, Bridger, like, appreciate it. And he's like, oh, yeah, of course, so we were kind of ordered to do this. I don't want you on my boat.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the Red Scare has her hacks, so gotta use them. This is going to be a real awkward boat ride.
We'll not ask about why Lucas has bruising on his neck.
That's why he's wearing the turtleneck in this
scene. He's wearing the turtleneck to hide the fact that he was choked. Though he could say, hey, you remember that pretty girl? She's really into some things. And then make Bridger run away.
I turned red and got scared. Excuse me, it's Red Menace. She's the Red Menace. She's
the Red Menace, not the Red Scare. I know what you were going for, yeah. Clemens does, like, you know, have a moment with Lucas where he's like, it was a pleasure. You know, he's a remarkable man to Bridger. And
where do you think he's going?
An island.
It's always some island with these
people. Some island.
Like, the unstated implication... The unstated conclusion I came to is that, like, Clemens came to his senses, realized that Node 3 is too great a temptation. Mm-hmm. He has to get away. He has to get out of the game, clear his head. Mm-hmm. And they're giving him a ride to do that. But, like, where's he going to go?
An island without internet access.
An internet-free island. He's going to just sip mojitos.
Yeah.
And try to, like, work on himself for a while.
Yeah. Maybe he's going to go to a dolphin sanctuary.
Dolphins fix everything. Dolphins fix everything.
Yeah, you can meet Mom and the cousins.
They took a blimp in.
Then Clemens goes on the shuttle, and Lucas starts heading that way, and, Bridger's like, oh, so, like, you know, did you have a good time? And Lucas just turns and is, I learned a lot. I'm gonna leave it there.
I learned not to eat the microwave frozen sushi. Everyone was very clear on this.
And then Ford hands him an envelope, mm-hmm. and it is his salary that they, you know, he is now going to be getting. And as they go on to the shuttle, Lucas is running after, like, pleased with himself, but then like, this isn't enough. I think this isn't enough, Captain. We need to talk about, like, how much.
I'm sure Lucas is glad that he got paid in an envelope of cash, because after his recent adventures, he doesn't trust bank transfers. No faith.
I just love that he's, like, trying to negotiate for more, because I was like, this is a teenager who's like, yes, I got what I want. Yes. Now what else can I milk this for?
I need a space heater in my room. It's so cold. It's so cold.
Can I have an air purifier?
It just smells like shrimp.
There's so many dead fish floating out there because Darren keeps trying to feed me.
he heard about Wendy and is like, oh, I can be Wendy. I can do this.
Well, Darwin has already tried to be Wendy. Mm. Do you remember? Like, the first episode, like, hey, here's a fish. Like, I already had lunch.
This is something...
It's a daily occurrence in my mind.
This is something people say about cats, that, like, cats perceive of the like people who own them as just really bad at being cats, and so they have to, like, bring the mice to feed them.
Yeah, they're like the weak link that like can't feed themselves.
As soon as Darwin called Sequest a member of his pod, you know that's exactly what it is. They're just weird, squishy dolphins that can't hold their breath, can't swim for shit.
Yeah,
awful dolphins. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is the end of the episode. That little pay gag is our button we leave them on.
And then it's a Bob fact.
Bob fact.
That's like, hey, internet.
specifically talking about how fiber optic cables will revolutionize the world once they run all the way into your home, connecting these information superhighways. It does not mention the ocean. I mean, just the fact that Bob is saying it implies that these are laid on the ocean, as said in the beginning of the fictional portion of the episode.
He does talk about the mean, like, laid underwater.
I don't think he says underwater. He does?
I have that in my notes.
All right, I believe you.
But internet.
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 Dylan, do you have a Bob fact?
I do. So my Bob fact is kind of about hacking. But
it's kind of about hacking.
It's about a different type of hacking.
Sure. So, it's about chopping wood for your fireplace. It's about hacksaws.
So, the malicious connotation of hacker.
Yes.
Okay? A lot of people think it's, like, a newer term, but it actually, like, dates back to some, like, student newspapers at least as far back as, like, 1963.
Ooh.
At MIT. But it was used not...
That's where Wolfman went.
But it was used at the time to refer to unauthorized users of the telephone network.
Yeah, phone freakers.
Yeah, freakers. So that's when I actually, through all this, found out what about freaking. Didn't know that that was a term.
Yeah.
So freaking is the term with a PH for phone hackers who mostly, like, messed with phones to, like, not have to pay long distance charges. that is what the big part of it was
to,
like,
immediately applicable use case.
Yeah,
you could do weirder stuff and cooler stuff, but
and they probably did, but, like, a big part of it was just to, like, reverse engineer the system of tones to, like, mess with it all so that way you didn't have to pay
free long distance free pay phones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff that a freaker could use in their day-to-day life.
Yeah. hackers. Before the hackers. That's all I got.
Well, my Bob fact is about perhaps the inspiration for this episode. The largest protest against the World Bank before this episode was written and produced and aired was in Berlin in the 1988 annual World Bank IMF Summit. Over 100 leftist groups mobilized over 50,000 protesters. The protests included an attempted shooting of an official from the West German finance ministry, and responsibility was claimed by the Red Army faction.
Oh.
Perhaps the Red Menace was named in honor of this attempted assassination. Who knows? But perhaps.
Perhaps.
That is my Bob fact.
I think our facts are better than yours, Bob. Other than just internet.
Internet. You heard of this stuff? You're gonna.
It's gonna happen.
It's happening.
And like, you're coming, right.
Coming
you're correct,
soon
Bob.
To a cable near you.
You are correct. Let me tell you though, it took a really long time to get like fast internet.
Bob is laying those cables as fast as he can manage. He's only one man.
So, yeah, that's the end of the episode. Which means you should, you know, go subscribe and give us a rating and review wherever you listen. Do we have a review?
I would like to read a brand new, well, we're still catching up, 5-star review from Kel Belindi on Apple Podcasts titled, Yes! Breaking news for all Sequest DSV fans! 4 exclamation points.
Yes.
There is a podcast about the show, and it is glorious.
Oh.
I discovered Whiskers after pondering what obscure subject I might cover if I ever started a personal podcast, and Sequest was the first thing that popped into my mind. Imagine my delight when a quick search revealed an amazing Sequest podcast already exists! I might already be the biggest fan. Thank you for creating this wholesome space for me to geek out and relive some wonderful tween memories.
I'm not gonna lie, that might be the best review we've ever gotten. It makes me so happy.
Thank you so much.
Not that I don't appreciate our other reviews, but someone who's like stumbled upon us and hasn't listened to our other stuff and is just a Sequest fan, like, we're bringing them together.
Oh, just wait until the next review I have to read next time.
Oh.
And if you would like to get your review read on the air, just leave us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. They are rolling in, and I appreciate every single one. Yummy, yummy, in my tummy.
Like a fish.
Like a fish that Darwin places on his head and balances, like a doing a trick.
You can also follow us over on Blue Sky.
Yes!
We got a Whiskers account over there. You've been posting lots of fun cast things.
Yeah, yeah. By the time you listen to this, I'll be through doing little cast profiles of all the non-celebrity members of the Sequest DSV cast. The main cast, you know. We obviously, in the episodes themselves, we talk about the Tim Russes and Seth Greens of the world. But, you know, the Stephanie Beachums, the Marco Sanchez's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who had some worlds crossed for me. Who's very exciting.
Yeah. How glad are you to know that Marco Sanchez spent at least one day of his life with Vincent Ventresca of The Invisible Man?
It makes my heart so happy. You do not understand. Ugh!
I love that he did so much of his SAG-AFTRA picketing last year with Timothy Amundsen, Dr. Levin.
I also love that too.
That's great.
I also love the little reunion that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Oh, you should tell a friend.
You should tell a friend.
Tell a friend, especially, you know, go to your local hacker camp.
Hacker camp. And like,
suck
okay.
Suck face with someone and be like, hey, you know what? I know this podcast.
At hacker camp, they know about hackers. They know about swordfish. They know about that time on NCIS when people were like 2 people on 1 keyboard hacking. They know all that. Do they know about Photon Bullet?
Do they know?
There's a secret, incredible 90s hacking fiction that they are just waiting to be revealed to them.
Yes.
I would also like to point people toward Bizarre Podcast Space Puppets. This is the first time we're recording after our like between season hiatus has ended. So we're a couple weeks into season 4, the farewell season of Space Puppets, because it is the farewell season of our topic, Farscape. a show with a lot of personnel, creative personnel in common with Sequest from about 6 years later, going on 10 years at the part at the end of the show we've gotten to on Space Puppets. But my very good friend from high school, Josh, and I are talking about a couple episodes every week. You can find all of that at patreon.com/chipandironicus. But our first episode of every season, and a handful of season one episodes already, are free. So you can try them out, you can listen, and you can find out that that show is worth way more than the minimum $1 a month we're asking for the rest of it. It's a great show. I have so much fun making it, and I think it is a really good companion with Whiskers. They go together very well.
Yes. You guys should definitely go check that out. It's very good. Gotta love some Farscape.
Yes.
You can also go check out Throwback Bound.
Throwback Bound!
That is my show that I'm watching with my college best friend for Spellbinder.
A show that has nothing in common with Sequest, creatively.
Other than being a sci-fi show from the 90s.
Yeah, anything it has in common with Sequest is a matter of, like,
time,
broad trends in, yes, production and things that were in the air creatively.
Yes.
But as far as, like, personnel,
no.
Zero. Zero. Nil.
Zero. Made in a different part of the world. We should check it out.
I love it. It's one of my favorite shows.
Aw, that's very sweet. So, I think that's it.
I think that's it.
So with that, I'm Elena.
I'm Grant, and in the words of Captain Nathan Bridger,
for beneath the surface lies the future.